Hello there, history rockers. That's a bit cheesy, isn't it? Welcome to another fun-packed episode of the History Rocks Cold War Specials. I'm your host, Melanie, and I'm going to talk you through today some of the background to the Vietnam War. We had a little look at peaceful coexistence last episode, so if you missed that, hop backwards and have a listen to that juicy content. I'm going to start with a joke, because you know I love them. This one goes like this. A farmer says excitedly to Stalin, "Comrade Stalin, we have so many potatoes that piled one on top of the other, they would reach all the way to God." Stalin looks at the farmer and says, "Well, God doesn't exist." "Exactly," says the farmer, "and nor do the potatoes." Boom, boom, it's good. It is good. Think Stalin, agricultural policies, collectivization, lack of food, in comparison to heavy industry. And that's why that joke is funny. But if you knew your stuff, you would be laughing at that anyway. I wouldn't need to explain it to you. Right, so today we're going to turn our attention to Asia. We're going to look at Vietnam. And I'm going to look at all of the presidents and their involvement in Vietnam before President Johnson takes power. So as you probably know, Johnson is known as he's the man who sort of escalated the war. So we're looking at all of the bit prior to him. So what do we need to do? Well, prior to 1954, okay, so if we rewind all the way back, prior to 1954, Vietnam was part of a kind of sort of French colonial network, a little empire known as Indochina. They were occupied by the Japanese during the Second World War. And a group of resistance fighters known as the Viet Minh was led by this chap called Ho Chi Minh, who originates from North Vietnam. And they use all kinds of guerrilla warfare in order to try and rid themselves of the Japanese occupiers. Japan, of course, then surrenders in 1945 after the bombing of Hiroshima and Nagasaki. Viet Minh therefore go on to seize Hanoi, which is the northern capital of Vietnam. And they basically, Ho Chi Minh came out and declared independence for Vietnam. Well, the French were not happy about this. They wanted to restore their control over Vietnam. They go back in again. And I guess, you know, war between the Viet Minh, Ho Chi Minh's Viet Minh, and the French resume. Basically, the French thought that they would be able to win if they had like a final push against the Viet Minh, which they do stage in 1954 in an area known as Dien Bien Phu. But the French were really heavily defeated. They were routed by the Viet Minh. And there's a whole crock of reasons as to why that is. I'm pretty sure that Vivian Sanders' book, the textbook on the Vietnam, great book that if you've not seen it, I think she goes through some of those reasons, including things like, you know, the indiscipline amongst the French army, the alcoholism, using prostitutes, all of these sort of things. And the fact that they don't really know the topography, the sort of layout of the landscape around them, and contrast that with the discipline and the guerrilla tactics of the Viet Minh. Even though they were heavily outnumbered, now armoured, the Viet Minh were particularly effective in defeating them. So the French were crushed. And what happens then is we go into something known as the Geneva Conference in 1954. And the French were basically looking to pull out of Indochina with some sense of dignity. Now, remember in the last episode when we were talking about achievements of the Thaw, the allowing of the French to pull out of Indochina was one of those examples that we used. So we get a ceasefire along what's becoming then the 17th parallel until elections were meant to be held in 2 years after that. The North was then to be run by Ho Chi Minh, and the South was under the Emperor Bao Dai, forgive me if I pronounce that wrong, But the real power, it wasn't really with Bodhi. He was too busy sort of having this luxury lifestyle. The real power lay with a leader known as Diem from 1954. So the US then were worried about Vietnam. They were worried that this sort of power vacuum is going to exist over there, that if they didn't sort of prop it up, particularly Diem, then communism could take control in that region. So with Truman then, the reason he gets involved is, of course, his belief in containment. And we've spoken about that before, you know, this desire to stop the spread of communism. He's tried to do that to a relative success in Europe. But now his attention's turned to Asia. He was embarrassed still by the loss of China, because, well, everybody started criticizing him soon after that, saying that he didn't prop up Chiang Kai-shek enough. And this, of course, led to the communist victory there in 1949. So he's rocked by that. He was also, I guess, pressured by what was going on at home. Again, cast your mind back, we've spoken about this before, wave of McCarthyism sort of grips the country at this point. Not only is he being personally criticised for it, his Secretary of State, Acheson, was also advocating taking a strong and firm line when it came to communism. And the defensive parameter strategy, yeah, support for that, meant that, I guess, the involvement in Vietnam would be inevitable. It was an inevitability. So Eisenhower gets involved only to the extent of sort of sending aid and things like that over to Vietnam, not much more than that. Eisenhower also does something very similar to that. And the reason he gets involved is because he believes, of course, in containment, just like Truman did. He also espoused that domino theory. So the domino theory goes something like, well, if one country falls to communism, then countries surrounding that area will also fall to communism, a bit like a domino. You know, if you knock it down, the next domino will go, and so on and so on. So if Vietnam fell to communism, then it could well be where? Thailand, Laos, Cambodia, India maybe. So those countries surrounding Vietnam could also fall. He also believed that communist expansion was bad for world trade. It acts as an obstacle to countries trading together, and that they might even try to sort of conquer capitalist countries, yeah, try and take them over. He was pressured by his Secretary of State. So we've got Dean Acheson under Truman, under Eisenhower, we've got John Foster Dulles, and we spoke a lot about him in a previous episode, how he was trying to portray Eisenhower as a Cold War warrior, really, somebody who's going to take a firm line against the communists. And, you know, read his articles and magazines and things like that, you get a very good impression of what John Foster Dulles stands for. Further, and I think probably most importantly, Eisenhower... Well, did he? I'd say more John Foster Dulles rather than Eisenhower personally, but either way, was sort of pledging this idea of rolling back communism across the world in his election campaign of 1952. I think it's more John Foster Dulles rather than Eisenhower himself that was doing this. But either way, we have this commitment to roll back communism. So we've got two American presidents now who are keen to get involved, who are keen to stop the spread of communism for very similar reasons, actually. Supporting Diem in the South against Ho Chi Minh in the North. Diem himself was somebody who's quite well traveled. He served in French administration in the 1930s. He's from a Catholic background. He came back to Vietnam because the emperor asked him to return to serve as initially as a PM, as a prime minister under an American government. Basically, Diem, though, pretty evil, actually. It did the dirty on Bodai and defeated and ousted him after a government-controlled referendum in 1955, made himself president of South Vietnam after 1955. So don't trust Diem. Signs were there already. So we've got Truman, we've got Eisenhower. What about Kennedy? Well, Kennedy was a family friend of McCarthy. I don't know if that's sort of exaggerated a little bit, his involvement, his links to McCarthy and McCarthyism. But he certainly was a family friend, which may have added some pressure. People also note that Kennedy was Catholic, something that he shared with Diem. Again, I wouldn't over-exaggerate the significance of that. But he certainly was against the state atheism that you get in communist countries. You know, so communist countries, there is religion essentially banned in countries. He does agree with the domino theory. He also agrees with containment. He's very committed to this idea of stopping the spread of communism. He used a lot of this sort of anti-communist rhetoric in his election campaigns. And the thing with Kennedy is that he's really young, he's really inexperienced when he assumes that role as president. So what you get is him also being influenced by those around him. So just like Truman and Eisenhower were influenced by John Foster Dulles and Dean Acheson, Kennedy was heavily influenced by his Secretary of Defense, Robert McNamara, and his Secretary of State, Dean Rusk, who were known as hawks. So they were known as opting or wanting to take a military option, a forceful option when it came to Vietnam. So for Kennedy in particular, he is also embarrassed by a couple of recent events that essentially blew up in his face, the Bay of Pigs being the one that is most notable. So what he tried to do is sponsor an anti-communist invasion of the Bay of Pigs, which is obviously in Cuba, in order to oust the new Cuban leader, the communist, well, sort of communist leader, leftist leader, Fidel Castro, after he nationalized a number of American companies. So America had a lot of interest in sort of sugar plantations and things like that within Cuba. And this was seen as a provocative action by Castro, and they really wanted to get rid of him. So he sponsors this anti-communist invasion of the Bay of Pigs to overthrow him using a combination of ex-Cuban exiles, about 1,300 of them, and the CIA. But basically, the Cubans were tipped off, and they were there, ready at the port, arrested everybody as they came off the boats, and the whole invasion was a complete disaster. So he was highly embarrassed by that. He was also embarrassed by his inability to what they call neutralize Laos. We have a coalition government instead in Laos rather than an outright victory. So he was trying to, you know, prevent any communist victory in Laos. We end up with a coalition government there instead. So Kennedy needed a win. He was so sort of shaken by this. He's influenced by those around him. He does have this commitment to, you know, what we were talking about before, containment, domino theory and all those things. But he needs to show that he can take a strong, firm hand, particularly given how young and how inexperienced he looked in office. He didn't want to invite that criticism. So we'll have a look at, I think, Kennedy's aims and methods a bit more, and particularly his assassination of Diem, which was quite significant for the future of Vietnam, before we get into later episodes regarding President Johnson. Right, I do hope that was of help to you. Do remember, you can email me on hello@historyrocks.co.uk for any shout-outs, questions, jokes, anything like that. It'd be lovely to hear from you. And equally, teachers out there, know some of the CPD events coming up June and July. Log on to historyrocks.co.uk for more details. Good afternoon, everyone, and I salute you.